Dollar.
Buddy Friedson, Johnny, over here at
Monroe County
Insurance.
Buddy, how are you?
Oh, same as always. Listen, now, why don't you do me a favor?
If I can.
Ever hear of an old dame by the name of Mrs. Ambrose Winford Van Turkle?
Ambrose, what?
Van Turkle.
No, I'm not going to say I haven't.
Yeah, I guess you have a point there. And she's an old first budget. Lives over on South Tyrone, 1227.
South Tyrone? She must be loaded.
And depends on how you look at it. But we have written a bit of insurance on her jewelry. And Johnny.
How much?
Just under a cool million. And Johnny.
You're kidding.
Not a bit. But now listen.
My regular commission on $1 million?
Now listen,
will you? Daddy, say no more. I'll take the case. CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, the Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation on the Too Many Crooks matter. You know, they say that too many crooks spoil the broad. Well, believe me, too many crooks can certainly mess up an insurance investigation. I know. I come out of 146 to fill the gas tank on my car, then I drove to Freddie Fixon's office down on the square. He was waiting for me out front. Okay, Freddie, let's have it.
Well, look, if you hadn't hung up the phone on
it, I think it must be pretty urgent. This standing here says I was right. So, what goes with this Van Turkle thing and her $1 million will it do?
I told you, and that's why she's an important client. I understand, incidentally, she keeps it all out there at her home.
She does, hmm?
And that's fine with us. Makes the premiums that much higher.
What's happened to her, Freddie?
Her? Well, not a thing, nothing at all. It's what happens to me.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the day after all her service, including the chauffeur.
No.
I promised to drive her in here to the office this morning to go over some of her policies.
Well, Fred.
Well, now, if I don't, the old fuss pot is liable to blow a gasket and cancel everything. And she would.
You mean that's all you told me about?
So the first vice president in charge of me has just arrived in town, and that means I don't dare leave this place.
Freddie, I was signing a commission on
her. So I told her you'd drive her in here.
You what?
And, Johnny, I don't know what this power is that you seem to have over these old biddies, but she knows all about you. Listens to every program every week and thinks you're wonderful.
Johnny, flattery will get you nowhere.
Look, instead of chewing me out, she said fine. She'd get all set up in her Sunday best and be waiting.
Oh, Freddie, look.
And I'm serious, Johnny. This is really important.
Am I supposed to wear a uniform and chauffeur cap?
I'm not kidding. It is important, very. Will you do it as a favor to me?
As a favor to you?
Yeah.
No.
Now, John.
But I will for another reason.
Oh?
I would just like to have a look at the female who can throw such a scare into fearless Freddie Friedkin. I drove to the CBD residential section on South Tyrone Avenue. Number 1227 was one of those huge, once very fashionable brownstone affairs surrounded with broad, long, formal gardens and plenty of sloping elms. The winding driveway led to a porch chauffeur on one side. I pulled in, gave the horn a couple of polite things, and waited. Looks like a lady who really does want service.
Hello?
question means a new thing. Well, come on, the lady's foot, your carriage is looking. So am I. Oh, Mrs. Van Pitt. When I finally saw the light again, the birds out there in the trees were singing merrily. But to my aching head, it sounded like they were screaming. I stood there for a minute or two trying to collect my wits. Whoever gave me that powder to the head had really done a good job of it. It may pull that thing out of circulation long enough for him to go over it. I had just one glimpse of him in a brief second when I'd opened that door. William Peake. That's the one. William Peake, struggling second story man with a record as long as your arm. With old Mrs. Van Kirkler alone in this big house. Painful to get back to my feet. Mrs. Van Circle! Mrs. Van Circle! I found her slumped over in a chair in a sort of morning room. She'd been stuck over the head table and hard. She was bleeding, but no senses. I grabbed the telephone.
Doctor,
listen.
Yes?
This is Johnny Dollar. I'm over here at Mrs. Van Pickle's place.
Oh, yes, Johnny. She's
faces
of mine.
Listen to me, Doctor, will you? Somebody got in here and hit her over the head and she's in bad shape.
What?
I don't know where to still live.
I'll be there right away.
You better. Another call, this time to headquarters from Sergeant Harry Gannon. He promised to send somebody pronto. Then, after throwing an aspirin into Mrs. Van Circle, I looked around. Finally, I found it in the library. The old painting pushed aside, and back of it, the wall safe, broken open, and very empty. On that floor, a single room that apparently had been dislodged from the setting. I dropped it into my pocket and made another phone call. Johnny.
But where are you, Johnny? What happened? Didn't you go out there and check her out?
Listen to me, Freddie.
Yeah?
How much did you say you were insured the jewelry for?
Well, who told me and why?
You better get ready to send her a check.
What?
If she stays alive.
An old strong arm by the name of William McPeak.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, we helped them on old train in New York.
Oh, fine.
Told them we just don't like these looks around here.
Harry, he's the man.
What?
Didn't you know? He's not only a strong-arm specialist, but he has enough racks against him for burglary to fill a book.
Well, I reckon he'll only show a couple of arrests over the years.
I don't hear witness, Joe, Harry. He's the one I found there at Mrs. Van Tuckle's house, the one who belted me over the head.
Oh, and we helped him out of town.
You sure did.
Okay, Johnny, okay. I'll notify the New York Police Department right away to grab him for us.
If they can find him. And you know how long it'll take just to get the wheels turning, get all the red tape out of the way?
Yeah, I know. Oh, brother.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can find him.
Well, I'll get it.
A little local knowledge, Harry.
About him?
About him and about some other people down there. I'll see you later. Item 2-1045, plane fare to New York. And I was lucky. A flight took off just a few minutes after I got to Bradley Field. I didn't hear you in the big city, $4 we went for a cab then to 18th Precinct headquarters. Before even talking to my old pal, Lieutenant Randy Singer, I appropriated a phone in the office next to him and made 5 calls to men who were always ready to give up a little bit of information to me for a price. Then I walked into Randy's office.
Okay. Now, what's it all about, guys? You can make that old call to him,
Randy, if I told you, you'd probably line them all up and talk to me again.
Oh, sure, huh?
Right. And they're a lot more valuable to me on the roof.
Well, I'm sure you haven't been telling me who they are, so we can, sort of protect them for you, you know? The partners can know who can actually talk to children, old Johnny.
Randy, I've got him out.
What do you think the stop tapping that diamond or whatever it is on top of my desk, do you? Want to strike a glass?
This diamond is what I came here about.
Well, Joe, you're fixing to pick a better day than Mexican down here, don't you?
Well, it's not.
No, everything. Country's on our next again. There's a lot of funny girls circulating around.
Oh?
Places are dying good if they can expect to grab the bad friends and clothes and the good ones.
That doesn't mean.
Well, that's the old. I mean, if they win. And they're pretty up to those boys around here, Johnny. I mean, you've got to feel that almost all of them.
Almost all.
Well, of course, they've got little boys here beating their brains out, too. But what's happening is this.
Yeah?
Every time we knock over a print shop, if we make the shop, we get there too late.
How do you mean?
Well, the place is gone. They're sold to someone else.
Mm.
And not just to another city, Johnny. That was a crap down your lease, is it? I think, I hope that through some intermediary, some Joe who's dancing with another kid just long enough to get out of Mexico and then pass him on to somebody else.
Well, maybe you better sit down every pin shop in town, man.
Oh, sure. You know what it takes? Just one little crash tucked away in somebody's face. Then it will to be thousands of them. But the department's labor claim, the feds are complaining we aren't cooperating, I feel lousy. And what's your problem?
What are the teeth?
The teeth? Well, you have to last it for a long time.
Oh, he hasn't,
Ambitious, really? Yeah. Always on the way to something big and always on the way to
now, let me tell you now, Randy.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah? No. We tried peddling goofballs for a while, Johnny. 2 years up the river. Tried just making another turn. About half a dozen rounds. Always fell on his face. The only thing he could seem to get away with was a burglary and sales job.
Well, he can't this time, so listen.
Now, look, Johnny, I'd like to help you, Woody. Will you
stop tapping that thing? Nearly $1 million worth of jewels.
I don't care if it's...
Down here? No, up in Hartford, but I need your help.
Well, Johnny, until we get a picture of fixing that voice up there, you what you know how it is.
I mean, a little deal between you and me has to be official all of a sudden.
Oh, no, of course not. But will you stop scratching that diamond on the glass?
Huh? Okay, Randy.
Well, look. Yeah? Yes. Who? Yeah. The news guy.
Oh? Johnny Dollar.
Body.
Oh, what's funny?
Yes, Bobby, too.
This number is giving me a headquarters.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's where I am. Go ahead.
You wouldn't pull one on this, Johnny.
Nah, Bobby, you know me better than that.
Yeah, I guess I do.
You got something for me?
Say, couple of signals, Johnny?
That's 300, Bobby. If you just need one, one, two.
Okay. Just a couple of minutes ago, with a briefcase on him.
Yeah.
718 East 49th.
I got it.
He pokes the buzzer at the number 2A, and then he goes in.
2A, huh? Okay.
Exactly.
You know anybody there's on 849 49?
Did I?
I'll let you know.
Now, wait, Johnny. I thought you wanted some help.
I may not need it now.
Oh, no? Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe...
Dollar even to a cab to the northeast 16th apartment building on East 49th Street. I quickly pushed the button to each apartment in the place. They almost had been out there with phones blown out because nobody kept open the lock on the front door for me. So I pushed the lock, and I quietly went inside and up the stairs to the door of 2A. Drop your gun. Take it over here. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now sit down over there against the wall. Let's take a look here. What'd you say to me, Lee?
Fred, back down on me.
What did you figure on keeping this mess of jewels and whatever it was he gave you for them? What was it, Willie? What did he give you for them? Take a look at his briefcase here. Don't move, Willie.
Okay, you got the gun.
Johnny, where are you calling from?
718 East 49.
Well, listen, I just
Apartment 2A.
There's a guy living over there we've been looking at for years.
There was, Randy.
Name of Horace Petersley. A passer of hot jewelry, that sort of stuff, you know? Only we never have been able to... Hey, what'd you say? What?
That's right, he's dead.
Okay, I'll be right over.
No, Randy. Hmm?
What do you mean?
Tell somebody else.
Well, now, listen, Johnny, if you knock him off, I mean, even...
Somebody else killed him, Randy. The punk I have sitting here at the other end of my gun.
Oh.
You stay right there in your office, and I'll be along in a couple of minutes with the band Circle Jewels and with William's Peace and so.
You're kidding.
Not a bit.
And that's all the more reason I better get over there.
No, Randy, because while you're waiting for us, I want you to get a hold of Fritz Melchior.
That, gemologist?
Yes. Tell him to get there immediately with all of his equipment.
Well, I don't get it, Johnny.
You will, Randy. You will. Item 4, another dollar from another cab. Lucky, by the time we got to headquarters, Melchior, the gemologist, was there and waiting. I handed him the band Circle Jewels and told him to set up his equipment on Randy's desk and get to work.
Now, I'm going to take the ultraviolet lamp a moment or two to get warmed up, Mr. Dollar.
Well, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Melchior.
But in the meantime, I'll just set up this retired refractometer and the mic.
Just for your time.
But why can't we just book Willie and lock him up, Johnny? Conway's going to get tired sitting there holding a gun on him.
Man, he sees what I think he's going to see. He wishes that he had that gun to shoot himself with. Talk to you about it, Willie.
Well, what do you know about
that? I remember, right? Just to me, that little annoyed earlier when I sat here at the glass top desk sitting around with the stone Willie left behind at Mrs. Van Dessel.
Sure, you kept tapping, and rubbing it over the glass, trying to scratch.
That's just the point, Randy. Rubbing it on the glass, but not something.
Well, you tell me, is there a single scratch then?
No. No, Johnny, you're right. Son of a gun.
Not a question. It wasn't absolutely conclusive. I made no bones about it. It didn't function at all while I was doing it. But when I heard the now deceased Horace Petersley back there in his apartment, and I heard him telling Willie that the deal was off to give him back the place, it suddenly dawned on me.
Yeah, so maybe we've got more crooks on this deal than we bargained for, huh? Too many crooks.
Mm-hmm. Including a little old lady who figured on collecting nearly $1 million on that stuff that Mr. Melchior is looking at.
Hey, now,
listen,
what do you mean by that?
Hold it, John. Well, Mr. Melchior?
Gentlemen, there is no question about it.
Are you sure, sir?
I am absolutely certain. Now, look here, you too, Mr. Melchior.
Yeah?
You see, I need the polished piece of corona. Does the so-called diamond strike it? No. The corundum wears away the stone.
I understand.
And here, the test with the refractometer is further proof.
With the what?
The refractometer. It measures the deviation from a straight line suffered by a ray of light in passing at mystery through various media of varying density. But now look here, under the ultraviolet light, you see?
Well, that's not a pretty looking out there.
Now, that is a genuine diamond, Lieutenant, that I brought along for comparison. But, now look at this one, under the black light.
The supposedly precious jewels insured by Mrs. Van Tuck.
Quite so, Mr. Dollar. They're fast, safe, common glass, and not valuable gems.
What are you? Some kind of a nut.
Although some of them have been very steadily cut.
No. Wait, hang on. Wait a minute. Look. It ain't true. It's a lie. It ain't true. I took them out of that safe myself. I had to kill a man to make a deal with him. No, it ain't true.
True, all right, Willie.
And I've been robbed.
I've been robbed.
Get him out of here, Connor. I'll lock him up.
Much as I hate to admit it, you've kind of done yourself a good day's work.
Well, of course, really you had to do.
Well,
you got hold of those counterfeit plates for you, Randy, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of that Peterson character for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Randy, why don't you be a nice guy and see that he doesn't get more than a couple of blind things. As for the phony jewels, old Mrs. Van Persie has completely recovered from her being, by the way. But I say, the real gem, she always kept her check in her vault in the bank. The plates she had there on the wall safe were for casual wear. Expect our total, including the payoff to my friend Fuddy. Call it 200 and a half. Yours to win, young dollar.
Get premium gasoline performance at regular gasoline price. Find out what so many other car owners have found. In 3 out of 5 cars, regular price Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasoline. Saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino and still get premium performance and mileage. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino Gasoline. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Henderson. Little Cooper, written by Ethel Hilder. Sound patterns by Walter Arnold. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Court Benson, Jim Stevens, Tom Gorman, Jackson Beck, Sam Gray, Maurice Thompson, and Bill Smith. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Art Hannah speaking. Here, Coleman on Sports, 10 times each weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
This is KROD AMNF, Elmer Dollar.
If ever it's passing you on the highway, chances are you're going too slow. The too slow driver, the lane changer, inattentiveness on the part of experienced drivers whose driving skills have become automatic, are the real menaces on the highway. Sudden stops and slowdowns invite rear-end collisions. Try to maintain an even speed, neither much faster nor much slower than the flow of traffic. Follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Remember, at 60 miles an hour, under good conditions, it still takes 23 car lengths to stop. Friends, this is Kelly Maddox, Executive Secretary of the Citizens Traffic Commission, asking you to take stock of your driving habits. Don't be a slow-pulled driver and don't be a speed demon. Drive at a speed that is safe and prudent. Safe and prudent not only for you, but for others that are driving on the same street or highway. Driving too slow can be just as dangerous as driving too fast.